Open your Bibles to Mark chapter number 10, and we're going to begin looking in verse number 46 in just a few moments. I'm excited about Vacation Bible School. Brother Allen asked me, he says, "Are you ready?" And he repeated himself three times. I don't know if that was a sign, but I'm excited. I can't wait to see all the young folks running around here having a good time. And I am ready for Vacation Bible School. I pray you are as well. We looked last week at the faithful Christian life, and I had a good time. I don't know about you, looking at the life of Jacob and being reminded of a man who wrestled from carnality to spirituality. And boy, what a testimony for myself, and I'm so thankful for that. But this week, I want us to consider once again this vital subject of prayer. Now, I'm just going to tell you that part of this series is born out of the fact that Pastor needs help in his prayer life. I need help in my prayer life. How many by testify or raise a hand would say this? I want to be better in this matter of prayer in my own life. Yeah, I think all over the sanctuary here, one of those areas that constantly comes up in our lives is not just our Bible reading and our Bible study, but it's this matter of prayer. And I believe this, that we'll see at the end of this a connection between our faith and prayer. You understand they're indelibly connected. You cannot pray effectively without faith. One has wisely said this. Now listen, prayer does not change God, but it changes him who prays. And how powerful that is. Corrie ten Boom has asked this question. It's thought-provoking, and it's simply this. Is prayer your steering wheel, or is it your spare tire? And I pray it is here at Liberty Baptist Church to be our steering wheel and not our spare tire. Well, let's stand for the reading of God's Word, beginning in verse number 46. We learn some vital truths about prayer. And beginning there in Mark chapter 10, verse 46, the Bible says this, "And they came to Jericho, the they is Jesus and all that followed him. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, saying, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. And he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him," notice this question, "'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight," and what did he do? He followed Jesus in the way. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, would you help us this morning to see the truth about prayer in this passage. Help us understand, Lord, that we need to be very specific in what we're saying. And Lord, as we come to the throne of grace, having confidence that you'll answer our prayers. Lord, I pray, Father, on the precipice of VBS, Lord, there be much praying among thy people. And much of the labor and of the service and of the work, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Lord, let us be people that pray very specifically about all that's taking place. Father, I realize that if we'll just pray and we'll seek thy face, we'll yield to you, we can have the spiritual victory that's already wrought in Christ. Lord, help us this morning. We pray and ask these things in your son's name. Amen. You may be seated. It's vitally important for us as followers of the Lord not only to seek the Lord's face in prayer, but to know how to pray. Now, I'm going to ask this morning by raise of hand, how many have taken on that prayer challenge, and that is to pray more? How many have done that? Amen. I pray that you have taken up that challenge and are praying more. Listen, we need to not only pray, but we need to know how to pray. And I believe this passage reveals for you and I one of the greatest lessons we must know concerning our prayer life. Now, you might be looking at this passage, you might be thinking about the verses we just read, and you might think this, Pastor, I don't know. This doesn't seem to be a passage on prayer. It's talking about Jesus healing blind Bartimaeus by the wayside. But could I challenge you in this way this morning, that prayer is simply us speaking to God. A prayer is not an unusual thing, except for the marvel that God has made a way for us being reconciled to Him to have access to the throne of grace because of our wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. It's a marvelous thing, but it's not an unusual thing. You see, prayer is just us simply speaking to God. And here in front of us, we have a dialogue that takes place between a blind man and the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the way, is, guess what? God in the flesh. And I remind you this morning that God does not change. I'm reminded of the exchange between the disciples and the Lord Jesus in John chapter number 14. And as Jesus spoke about going to the Father, they asked the question, Lord, just show us the Father and it sufficeth us. And Jesus responds in the ninth verse, and he says this, have I been so long time with you, Philip, and have you not known me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest then thou, show us the Father? You see, Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And so, just understand every exchange that you have recorded in the scriptures between Christ and man is really an exchange between, guess what? God and man. And so there's much we can learn by studying these encounters in the gospel records as we see the Lord dealing with people. And I want to give you several points this morning. If you'll write them down, number one, if you're taking notes, the definite cry to the Lord. The definite cry to the Lord. You see, the Lord is en route to Jerusalem. In verse number 32 of this chapter, the Bible says this, if you'll look at it with me. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them. And notice about the disciples, they were amazed as they followed, and they were afraid. You see, at this point in the Lord's ministry, the disciples knew this, that if Jesus goes back down to Jerusalem, it will be dangerous for him. And by the way, could I point out to you this morning that what moved the Lord Jesus to go to Jerusalem was submission to the divine plan of God the Father. It was his great love for us that he continued, like flint, set to go to Jerusalem. You see, the Lord Jesus just didn't do what was easy. He did what was right. And I think this, as he's dealing with his disciples, that you and I, as Christians, sometimes we need to get over this thing that, listen, not everything in the Christian life is easy, but we just need to do what is right. In this chapter, he had just finished explaining to his disciples the impossibility of salvation. In fact, in the 17th verse, if you'll look at that, the Bible says this, that as he had gone forth in the way, there came one running to him and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And it's interesting that this man appeared not only to have his religion in order, but he was a man of great wealth. In fact, we call him the rich young ruler. His name's not given to us in the scriptures, but his dialogue with the Lord rattled the hearts of the disciples. It shocked them. And the Lord revealed that this man's love for the things of the world and this man's love for his riches was not something he was willing to give up to follow after Christ. And in fact, in verse number 26, if you look there, it says this about the disciples, and they were astonished out of measure, saying to themselves this, who then can be saved? You know, the truth of the matter is, we may be surprised one day when we get to heaven to see this rich young ruler in glory. It may very well be. I realize that day he left without Christ, but maybe, just maybe, the godly sorrow led him to repentance down the road, according to Romans chapter 2 and verse number 4. Who knows? In verse number 27, Jesus, understanding the shock of the disciples, he looks at them and says this: with men it is impossible, but with God, guess what? All things are possible. Friend, can I remind you this morning as well that, as is evident with the rest of the chapter, that my God and your God is able to save any who will come to him to the uttermost. And if we discover nothing else in the scriptures about our Savior, this ought to be the greatest encouragement for you and I to prayer that the Lord can make a difference in anyone's life. You see, there's no case that's too hard for the Lord. Isaiah 59:1 says this: behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened. You know, when you were young and the cookie jar was so far away, your hand just couldn't get there, could it? But God says this: listen, my hand, my arm, my strength, it's not shortened at all. In fact, it goes on and says this, that it cannot save, neither is his, listen, ear heavy that he cannot hear. In other words, our prayers don't fall on deaf ears. And our God hears us, and he has the ability to save to the uttermost. You see, we're powerless with the situations we face and the situations that surround us and our loved ones and our friends and our family members. We're utterly powerless to save anyone. Now, I think about this time of VBS, and the truth is, we desire for every child that comes here, every teenager that comes here, and every young person that comes to this place, we desire that they would receive Christ as their Savior. And the truth is, can I say it, with men this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So here in our text, not only are they shaken up by this encounter and they're concerned about the Lord entering into Jerusalem, he's going into hostile territory. So verse 32, right before this passage, it tells us not only are they amazed, but they are afraid at the same time. A mix of emotions, isn't it? And sometimes it is that way with you and I as well. As we follow the Lord, we'd have to admit that oftentimes we're amazed at what the Lord is doing, but then at the same time, in our amazement at what God is doing and how he's moving in our lives and how the pieces of things are changing in our lives, that not only are we amazed, but at the same time, we have to admit we're afraid about what's all going on. Listen, can I challenge you, my friend, be full of faith. Look to Jesus. And he tells them, not only am I going to suffer and to be condemned to death, but he says, listen, I will also rise again from the grave. And so it's on that backdrop that we arrive in verse number 46. And in verse 46 in our text here, we're introduced to a man by the name of blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Now this blind man begins to cry out, and you can imagine he notices there's a great influx of people that begin to be all around him. The Bible tells us in another parallel record that there was another blind man there with him that day. And I can imagine this scene unfolding as he's here in the way. And all of a sudden, there he is sitting by the wayside where he typically begs. And he begins to hear some voices. And at the first, it's just a few voices. And then he hears more voices. And he realizes, boy, there's a whole crowd of folks. Perhaps he thought in his mind, man, I'm going to be able to receive a little bit more from such a great crowd of people. Perhaps I'll get some more alms today. But then he hears who it is that caused this great uproar. Would you look with me in verse 47? The Bible says, and when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and to say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. This is the definite cry to the Lord. Could I tell you about this definite cry to the Lord? If we're taking those, first of all, would you note this? It is the name above all names that he cried. It's the name above all names. I want you to understand this morning that our access to God the Father is connected to the God-man Christ Jesus. In fact, 1 Timothy 2:5 tells us this, for there's one God and one mediator between God and man. And guess what? It's the man, Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ said himself, listen, I am the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life, and no man cometh to the Father, but how? By me. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the name above all names, and the name in which we pray. Aren't you glad this morning that you know the name above all names? Aren't you glad? The Bible tells us in John 15:16, speaking about the child of God, it says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask in my Father's name, he may give it you. You see, our prayer approaches God on the basis of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is atoning work on the cross of Calvary. The Bible tells us about the precious name of Jesus. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 9 through 11, it says this, wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know, it's good to have a good name, a good testimony. But listen, can I testify this morning that Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, has the name that's above all names. Blind Bartimaeus didn't know a whole lot. Boy, he knew how to sit there and beg for alms, and he knew where his place was. And he may not have known a whole lot, but he did know this, that this is Jesus of Nazareth. And he cries out and says, further, thou son of David. You see, blind Bartimaeus is not just calling upon some miracle worker. He's calling upon God's only begotten Son, Israel's true Messiah. You see it there in the text. He doesn't say, Jesus, the miracle worker. He says, Jesus, thou Son of David. Blind Bartimaeus somehow understood this, that this was not just any man. This was not just a miracle worker, but this is the Christ. This is the anointed one. This is Israel's true king. And I wonder this morning as we think about our prayer time and as we seek the Lord, I wonder this. Do you know that Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son? Do you understand that? Can I tell you this, that many pray to God? Many pray to God, but they do not pray according to knowledge. I think of all the false religions in this world that they're crying out to God. They're crying out to God, but they're not approaching God on the basis of Jesus Christ. I'm told there's anywhere, now this will shock you, from 4,000 to 10,000 false religions in this world today. Think of it, 4,000. If that's really the number, then that means this. There's 3,999 wrong ways to approach God in this world today. And I'm here to tell you that there's many who are crying out to God, but they're headed for an eternity separated from God in a place called hell. And I ask the question again, before we ever deal with any principles about prayer, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you entered into relationship with God by believing and receiving Christ as your Savior? It's a good question to ask. You see, many may cry out for help and mercy, but there's only one way to receive the kind of mercy that you need in your life, and it's by our wonderful Savior, and his name is Jesus. The name above all names, not only the name above all names about this definite cry, but will you write this down, the need above all needs. We have the name above all names, but we have the need above all needs. Here is this man, he's a blind man, and he's definitely crying out to the Lord. He looks at his own situation, and he realized this, I must have help from the Lord. I know you and I have been challenged to pray more this past month, but do you recognize that you need to cry out to God? Do you recognize this morning that you need the Lord? I believe that if we fail to recognize our own needs, then here's the truth, we will not pray. Our self-sufficiency needs to go by the wayside, doesn't it? And we need to realize this, that we're utterly dependent on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Christian, can I ask, do you realize that you're in need of mercy this morning? Do you realize you're in need of God's grace this morning? You see, the truth is, if you don't recognize your need, you will not pray. My wife and I were listening to a podcast just the other day. We finished it up last night, and the preacher in the podcast was explaining this, why storms come into our lives. It's a tremendous message. He was looking at the great storm in Jonah chapter number 1. You know what he stated? One of the reasons why storms come into our lives? He said this very frankly. He said, because many of us need to wake up out of sleep. And friend, can I tell you, he went on to say this evangelist, and I believe he knows because he travels all over the world and he's booked several years out. You can't even hardly get him into a place because he's preaching all over the place. And he said this, he said, most Christians in the United States of America need to wake up. You see, there's storms all around us and we're asleep like Jonah. We're asleep like Jonah in the belly of the ship. He says, not only does God send storms because we need to wake up, he went on and said, secondly, the reason God sends storms into your life is because you need to pray. And the fact is, his children aren't praying. They're not speaking to him. And so God sends a storm into our lives so that we get to the place where we bend a knee, we get to the place where we cry out to God, we get to the place where we shed off our own self-sufficiency and we seek his face. Can I tell you, this blind man, he understood. Listen, I've got a need that I cannot meet. I'm blind and I need to see. You know, he was begging for money before. But then he recognizes the God-man can do something about my situation. I'm reminded of the Apostle Peter and another man who was lame. He was a beggar sitting by the side there before the temple. He was just simply asking for alms. One of my favorite Bible verses in Acts chapter 3 and verse number 6. And the Bible says that Peter fixed his eyes upon him. Boy, I'm sure they locked eyes. And he says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And friend, you know what needs to happen with us as Christians? We need to be giving other people what they need. We need to be telling others about Jesus. And this is simply what the Apostle Peter did with this man, asking for alms. And I believe this, our prayerlessness is connected to two things. Would you write them down? Number one, we don't recognize our own needs. You know, there's some here today that have yet to recognize that they're blind. There's some here today that have yet to look up and recognize that their situation is hopeless. I believe this, there's some that are here today that have yet to recognize they can't make it in their own strength, but they need help from the Lord. And so our prayerlessness is because we don't recognize our true needs. But then number two, we don't recognize our only help. Well, you might be looking around complaining about all that's going on. You might be saying, I have all these great needs, I have all these problems, I have all these issues, I have all these things taking place in my life. But listen, where's your help come? Where's it come from? The longer I live, the more I realize this. I need the Lord's help in everything. If you ever have read in Matthew 11, 28, Jesus says this, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And then he promises, I will give you, what's the next word? Oh, let's say it again. What's the next word? That was half-hearted. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you, ready? Rest. How many want some rest in their lives today? You know, the fact is as Jesus said that, he's speaking to a crowd and he offers the invitation, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. And perhaps they're looking at each other saying, well, you need to go up there and get rest from the Lord. And they're looking at the person next to him saying, you need to go up there. Hey, guess what? That calls for everybody. We're all heavy laden. We're all laboring and tired. Guess what? We need rest from the Lord. You realize this morning you need help from the Lord? Psalm 121, 1 and 2 says this, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. Look up, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Friends, we got to recognize our needs, but we got to recognize who we can get help from, and that's the Lord. Maybe you're here today, you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You realize this morning that you're separated from God because of your sin. Can I say, the Lord Jesus can save you. He can help you. Romans 6:23 tells us that the beginning half, the wages of sin is death. But praise the Lord for the latter half, but the gift of God is eternal life. How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friend, you can come to Jesus today and receive eternal life. Maybe today you're here this morning, you're up against some kind of crisis and you recognize your need, but are you turning to the Lord, the one who can truly help you? Is your reliance upon Him? And so we see, number one, the definite cry to the Lord, but would you notice, secondly, really the crux of the whole message, a defining question from the Lord. A defining question from the Lord. Look with me in verse number 49. The Bible says there, as we go in this text, of course, blind Bartimaeus had cried out. And then in verse 49, it says, Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus, notice what it says, answered and said unto him, what does he say? What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Oh, this is so encouraging to me, for the Lord stood still and dealt with this man who others said, just be quiet. Just be quiet. He doesn't have time for you. He's on a busy schedule. He's headed somewhere else. He's got crowds to deal with. Just be quiet. And can I say to you that my Savior cares about what's going on in your life as well? We can be encouraged that our cries, they don't fall on deaf ears, friend. Our Lord hears our cries and he invites this blind man to further speak with him. And so in verse 50, Bartimaeus, he casts off that outer garment. Oh, he didn't want anything hindering him getting to Jesus. And he's cast it aside and he approaches the Lord. But notice and pay careful attention to verse 51. This is the title of the sermon. The Lord asks such a simple question, but it's a revealing question. And I believe this morning it's a question that could be asked of us as well. And he says this, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Now that seems like kind of a strange question to ask a blind man, but Jesus wanted to give this man an opportunity to express himself, to give evidence of his own faith. What did he really believe Jesus could do for him? You know this, that oftentimes we pray in such broad terms. You might have heard it before. We cry out, Lord, have mercy on me. We might cry out, Lord, would you bless us? Would you bless me? Would you bless this church? We might cry out, Lord, I'd love it if you just save some people somewhere. And we give such broad terms in our prayers. And by the way, can I say this? All those things are biblical. All those things are good things to pray. We ought to pray for souls to be saved. We ought to pray for the blessings of God upon our life. We ought to pray for mercy from the Lord. And God looks to us today and asks the question, well, what would you have me to have mercy on you about? What would you have me to bless you with? He looks to us and says, what soul would you like to see saved? Who is it? And the Lord can answer our general requests, there's no doubt. And I believe he does all the time. But I believe it's far better for you and I to pray very specifically and entreat the Lord. You see, there's not one thing that you'll ever pray that the Lord doesn't already know. But yet we're instructed here, and through the multitude of prayers we find recorded in the scriptures of folks making requests, listen, specifically. You see, there's a reason we have a prayer bulletin at Liberty Baptist Church. There's a reason we, under this salvation list, we list out these names right here. There's a reason we list those out. And I'm just saying that the Lord's desire for us and His question to us is, what wilt thou that you should have me to do unto you? What do you want me to do for you specifically? And the Lord's asking us this morning, you see, when we pray for souls to be saved, it's perfectly fine for us to pray and ask God to save. And by the way, He is. Realize this morning there's folks being saved all over the world this day as the gospel's going forth. And we can pray that the Lord saves souls, and He's already doing that. But you know what would be far better? For us to pray this way, Lord, would you save my neighbor? Lord, would you open his eyes to truth as I witness to him this afternoon? That'd be a fantastic prayer to pray. Would you give me an opportunity, Lord, to witness to my neighbor that's right next door to me? That's a specific prayer. You know, we have a section for missionaries on here, and we're going to start putting very specifically some specific requests on the very back. Occasionally we have a couple on here. But there's one missionary we're supporting right now. He's in Finland. And he's just learning the Finnish language, and he's standing up to preach in the Finnish language. And he said this, here's the trouble. When I say a particular word, if I emphasize the first half of the word and don't emphasize the second half of the word, or I flip that around and get the emphasis in the wrong place, the word can go from one meaning to a completely different meaning. And he said, I want you to pray specifically that I'm able to preach in a way that they understand, that I don't lead people away from the Lord because I can't speak the language. And I think we ought to bend our knees and pray for this man to be able to preach the gospel clearly and efficiently in the Finnish language. What a wonderful specific prayer to pray. And so we find here that the Lord understood what his need was, but he asked him nonetheless, what specifically are you asking me to do? In Matthew 9, verse 28, we read another account of the blind man. And when he was coming in the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I'm able to do this? And they said unto him, yea, Lord. In verse 29, we read in that account that he touched their eyes and he said this, according to your faith, be it unto you. You see, when we pray specifically, first of all, number one, it helps us to understand our true need. Not only does it help us to understand our true need, but it helps us to move our own will. Have you ever heard the expression half-hearted prayer? Half-hearted prayer. Oh, you see, the Lord did not ask this man, what do you wish would happen in this situation? Oh, blind Bartimaeus, what do you wish would take place here as if there's no hope of the Lord moving upon his request? No, he says this, what wilt thou? And so the challenge is for you and I this morning, even as we look forward to Vacation Bible School, will you covet with this pastor to pray specifically about what's taking place all this week? Will you agree to pray very specifically about the children that come in, about the teenagers that come in, about the situations that arise all during this week? Will you pray specifically that God will work in a mighty way? Maybe after the first day when we know some of the names of the children and we know who it is that needs to be saved, maybe it is that we can pray specifically about them by name this week. I'm simply saying we're not just asking the Lord, would you bless VBS, but we're asking to give the teacher specific wisdom from the Word of God and be able to communicate in simplicity and truth to the young folks that come here to Liberty Baptist Church. Perhaps we need to mention the individuals by name working in the kitchen, because who doesn't love food? Amen. We need to pray for them. We think about that, and we may think about the teachers, but listen, they have a vital role to play in this Vacation Bible School. We need to pray for them specifically. Maybe we need to pray specifically for the ones who are leading the games, that the games will point others to Christ. You see, it's all fun to have some fun, but listen, our design is not just to have some fun, it's to propel people forward to Christ. Maybe we need to pray that that the person leading the games would have help from the Lord in pointing people to Christ. Maybe right now we know of certain ones, right now, even now, they're going to attend this VBS and we know they need to be saved. Maybe we know they need to take a step forward in their Christian life. We can pray specifically. But would you mark note of this, this last point? Not only do we have the defining question from the Lord, and we see also the definite cry from the Lord, but then lastly, we have this, the deliverance from the Lord. The deliverance from the Lord. You see, this is really where all of us want to get to, isn't it? Where the Lord answers our prayers. Where the Lord answers our requests. Notice with me in verse 52, the specific request. Listen, the specific request gets a specific answer. Verse 52, the Bible says, "And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." You see, the result of this answer to prayer was that this man followed Jesus Christ. And can I say to you that the result of you praying and seeing specific answers to prayer will cause you to follow closely the Lord Jesus. You know, it's no secret if you have candy that children will come to you. It's no secret. And so listen, as we have specific answers to prayer in our lives, guess what? It'll propel you forward to follow Jesus. This is what happened to blind Bartimaeus. He said, listen, you've got your sight. Go your way. You're healed. And what do we read in the text? He followed Jesus. Now, he could have gone anywhere in all the world, but what did he do? He followed the Lord. He followed after the Lord. And say, you might not exactly receive what you're asking for, but you will receive an answer from the Lord, I can tell you that. You may not get exactly what you're asking for, but I guarantee you, you'll get an answer from the Lord. I'll remind you this morning that the Lord knows what's the very best for you and I. Did you know this, that many times the things we're asking amiss. We're asking amiss. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 4 and verse number 2, James tells us this. He says, you have not because you ask not. In other words, you're just asking in broad terms. You haven't asked me really anything. Maybe you've said, Lord, bless me. Maybe you said, Lord, have mercy on me. But where's the specific request? In other words, you have not because you haven't asked. But then he continues, he says, you ask and receive not, and here's why, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. In other words, most of the time we have to admit our prayers are self-centered, aren't they? We're asking amiss. And so look with me for just a moment at an earlier verse, in verse number 35 in the same chapter. We're almost done this morning. The Bible says in verse number 35, another direct request to the Lord. It says, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him saying, Master, we would that you shouldest do for us whatsoever we desire. Now, I'll just tell you, most of the time when we come to God, that's what we say. Lord, I want you to answer this request, but I want you to do it in the way I'm asking you to do it. I want you to give me whatever it is my heart's desire is. I want you to give me whatever it is I want you to give me. In other words, as that same evangelist said, we treat God like the ultimate slot machine. We go up in there, put our money in, and expect him to vend out exactly it is what we're saying. And so here they come. And the Lord responds. Notice in verse 36 what the Lord tells them. What does he say there? And he said unto them, notice the words, what would you that I should do for you. Does that sound kind of familiar? Sounds almost exactly like what he told blind Bartimaeus. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the Lord asked James and John here, okay, y'all have come bold enough to ask me something. What is it specifically that you want? Notice verse 37. They said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand, one on thy left hand, in thy glory. Wow, that's a pretty specific request, isn't it? When we get to glory, I want to sit on the right hand and my brother sit on the left hand. I imagine they were probably arguing which one would sit on which hand, which side. I don't know. But Jesus said unto him, them, notice what he responded, ye know not what you ask. Can you drink the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? You see, James and John received, listen, here it is. They received a specific answer to their specific request. And I believe the Lord will answer us specifically as well. As I close, let me ask a couple of questions. As we approach this time of VBS, this altar call before we embark on VBS, the first question is this. Listen carefully. Have you been engaged in prayer? That's a simple question. You know all this past week, whether you've been engaged in prayer or not. You know even whether today you've prayed or not. And I just ask the question as we close this time for altar call, have you been engaged in prayer? This thing we're told about blind Bartimaeus, he did as he cried unto the Lord. Secondly, can I ask a second question? Would you like to come and pray specifically for VBS this morning? At the altar call this morning, would you like to come and pray for VBS specifically? The Lord asked this before we come, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? In other words, what's your specific request? Maybe there'd be somebody come forward. I don't remember. What was the number, Miss Sarah, that you have registered? 20? Maybe, how many? 21. Maybe somebody come forward and say this, Lord, would you allow us to see 21 souls saved this next week? I think that's a pretty specific request, don't you? Maybe it is, Lord, would you allow us to see 10 young people make a serious commitment for the Lord? I don't know, but I think we ought to pray specifically something about VBS. Maybe there's another specific request you'd like to bring before the Lord this morning. Lastly, can I say this? Maybe you're here this morning, and there's never been a time in your life when you've prayed and asked the Lord to save you by faith, trusting in Jesus Christ. If that's you, I'd invite you to get up out of your pew and come forward and trust in Christ this morning. Listen, you can know heaven's your home and Jesus is your Savior this morning. You can cry out to Him. We see here in our text that our God is able to do what needs to be done, because with men it's impossible, but guess what? With God, all things are possible. But listen, there's no man that Jesus cannot save. There's no man that Jesus cannot save. And if you're here this morning, you need to trust in Christ. I'd invite you, why don't you come forward and let us take the Bible and show you how you can enter into a relationship with God through our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray.